Hey, Bible readers, I'm Tara Lee Cobble, and I'm your host for The Bible Recap. Today, we're going to talk to Lee McDermott, pastor of New Spring Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If you listened to episode 2, you heard me tell the story of how Lee challenged me to read through the Bible all the way through and how it changed my life. At the time, I'd been in full-time ministry for a few years as a musician and a writer and a speaker, and Lee had mentioned that he thought I should say very little on stage until I'd read the whole Bible. I was pretty deeply convicted by that challenge to fill my head and heart with all of God's words before attempting to use any of my own. I still count that conversation as one of the most important ones in my life. And if it weren't for Lee, I never would have launched D Group, the discipleship and Bible study ministry I lead, which has now touched every populated continent and is even in Spanish. I definitely wouldn't have started that, and I definitely wouldn't have started the Bible Recap, because I never would have fallen in love with God's Word. So, of course, I'm incredibly excited for you to hear from Lee and catch his passion for the Word of God, because it is definitely contagious. Let's jump into my interview with him now.
Hello.
Hey, Lee McDermott. How are you today?
Great.
I am excited to talk to you about the Bible.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Are we recording on your podcast now?
This is the real deal. People are catching all our blunders and mistakes and everything. So that's exciting. It's like they're in real life with us.
No, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Well, thanks for having me on your podcast, DLC.
So happy for you to be here and for everybody else to get to know you. So let's help them do that. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name's Lee McDermott, and currently I'm the campus pastor at New Spring Church in Greenville, South Carolina. And I've been a part of New Spring Church for 18 and a half years now. This has been my only job since college. For 15 years of that, I was the worship pastor, and very recently have become the campus pastor here in Greenville. And so I get to lead the wonderful people up here, which has been such an exciting journey. I have my wife Allie and I have been married for 7 years, and we have two gorgeous children, my son Gray, who's 3, and my daughter Lucy, who's 1. And so we're in the full volume, full color toddler ministry life. It's really, really awesome. And for, you know, all the podcast listeners out there, Tara Lee and I have been friends for like a zillion years. And so this is a real treat for me. But I feel like you and I have been friends for 15 years or more, probably?
Probably 15 years, it would be my guess.
Like,
yeah.
So we go way back. This is awesome.
It really is. So, Lee, I've told our listeners, I've prepared them for the fact that you and I had a conversation 10 years ago that changed the trajectory of my life, and that nothing in my life right now would exist were it not for that conversation. That was maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes of a greater conversation, but it changed everything for me. And so I'm not sure if you're aware of that. I don't know if you know how much that impacted me. But it was just a simple question. You asked me if I had ever read through the whole Bible. And I said, I think I probably have. I probably pieced it together over the years. And you were like, listen, do it. Read the whole Bible and read it cover to cover. Let your eyes fall on every word. Don't skip a law. Don't skip a genealogy. Read the whole thing and say very little on stage until you do.
Wow. And I hope I wasn't that harsh about it. But, yeah. You know, I'm basically like the conversation that we had was essentially the fruit of my first encounter with somebody who told me the exact same thing. So I had been a worship leader. I was probably 24. I was leading worship at a camp, and the speaker who was there, I think after one of the sessions, he said, "Hey, man, you know God's going to hold you more accountable for what you say from the stage than me, right?" And I was like, "What are you talking about? Because this guy is like, he's preaching the gospel. I mean, he's a preacher. I thought I was just singing songs, you know." But as worship leaders do, I was like leading people from one song to the next and speaking in between and that kind of thing. And he said, "Yeah, here's the difference between you and me. When I speak, people are seated, their minds are closed, and they're weighing every one of my words, thinking, nah, I'm not sure I'll believe what you're saying." He said, "For you as a worship leader and artist on stage, when you say something, when you speak, people are standing, their hearts are open, music is playing, their eyes are closed. Like, everything you say is going right into their heart. Are you comfortable knowing that, are you comfortable about everything you're saying about God? And I was gripped with the gravity of that. And he said, you know, he asked me that question, like, have you read through the whole Bible? And I said, no, I haven't. And he said, you may just want to tell people, hey, welcome and stand and sing with us, and then you may be seated. That may be, you may need to let that be all you say. Stage until you see it all. And the thing that he began to tell me from there really was that the Bible was so much more accessible than I ever thought it was. He said it takes about 40 hours to read from cover to cover. One of the best things you can do, especially as a young person, is to get a copy of it. Now with it being on YouVersion, I mean, you can do it super fast, you know. But he said, just get a copy, read it as fast as you can, underline, star, highlight, put a question mark beside things. Don't get hung up on anything, but just read it through as fast as you can so you have the whole narrative and the whole, like all the pages, all the words underneath your eyeballs, so to speak. And he says, when you do that, what you will find is your understanding of the entire story and the main character will really become a great benefit to you. And as I've, you know, continued to dwell on that, you know, that later, well, really later that year, I did what he said. I had this, you know, small pocket Bible, and I would just keep it in my back pocket, read it at stoplights, and whenever I could. And it took me a long time to get all the way through it, like about 4 or 5 months, I think, at the time, just going as fast as I could. But I felt I was changed. On the other side of it. I mean, I was a completely different person. Purely, and this is the fun, this is the wild thing about it, Jilly. Like, there were doubts about my faith, doubts about Christianity, you know, things that I would struggle with, even, you know, at age 24, coming out of college, that, like, after that first reading through of the Bible, I just found that I didn't struggle with that stuff anymore.
Wow.
Wondering if God was real, wondering if the whole thing wasn't a joke. Like, after reading through the whole Bible, I was like, I just, there was like a whole set of thoughts that did not plague me again.
Wow. I love that. That's totally different than my first experience reading through the Bible. Yeah. Like, do you remember I would come to every time I would be touring in this area. Do you remember we would sit down with my journal and I would just walk through all of these questions that I had encountered since the last time I saw you? And I was like, what does this mean? And why did he do that? And I don't understand. And I don't really like what he does here. Like, it was, mine was difficult for me. And so I love this for our listeners, because I don't know what their experience is going to be like. They might have your experience or they might have my experience. Did you encounter any struggles when you read through? Like, was anything made more difficult for you?
I think certainly, well, the difficulties that I faced were really more in just my mental capacities being stretched. Not necessarily, I didn't face struggles of faith.
Okay.
Reading through the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
The things that I faced were more of, you know, if you read through the Bible very quickly, let's say you do a Bible in 90 days, you're going to be reading a lot, you know, for like, you know, maybe an hour a day.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, especially with the Bible, that is a mental stretch that a lot of folks, you know, if you were in, you know, you may not have encountered anything like that since someone was in college when you're reading all the time.
Right.
Something like that. But so I found that the biggest stretch was like staying engaged, keeping my mind engaged, and not drifting off, you know, kind of while I was reading at the beginning. So what I found was really a outworking of Psalm 19, where it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That second part of that, I felt like what God was doing was expanding my brain. He was expanding, expanding my intellect by stretching me with all of this text taken in large chunks at a rapid pace. Kind of like mental CrossFit.
If right.
If you've never done CrossFit before, it pushes you all the way to and beyond your limit so that the next time you come back to it, you can go a little farther. Like, that's kind of what this was doing for me.
Wow.
I think at the time.
So when you read through the first time, would you say that your basic theology was already formed and consistent with what it is now? Or did that help shape your theology? Because I know for me, it shaped my theology. I had a different theology, especially like the doctrine of salvation. Like, my soteriology was totally different before I read through scripture than it is post that. What about you? Because maybe I'm wondering if maybe that's why I wrestled and wasn't it wasn't as smooth for me as it was for you.
I don't know that I had any theology to speak in before I made it all the way through. I mean, really and truly, you know, I grew up in a traditional Baptist church, and then my, you know, when I was 22, I started working for New Spring as a worship leader, and you know, we're a very evangelistic, you know, kind of Baptist doctrine church. And I wasn't even thinking about theology at the time. I was a major in college. I mean, like, it was nowhere on the radar for me. I think what the first reading through of the scriptures did for me was acquaint me with the person of God, which I found to be totally consistent from cover to cover. This lie was unveiled to me and completely destroyed, that God was different in the Old Testament.
Yep. We've already talked about that with our listeners, is that they have this idea of Old Testament God and New Testament God being different. They like don't like God the Father, but they really like Jesus. And even I shared with our listeners that my experience was different, in that I felt like I understood Old Testament God. Like, of course you need to destroy those people. Like, they're terrible. You know, that's what we all deserve. But I got to Jesus, and some of the things that he said were really hard for me. So my trip through the first time through scripture, I think, was pretty different. But it definitely served to inform my theology. And then bringing all those questions to you and to my mentor, Kemper, that was such an invaluable resource to me, because they were able to answer some of the walls that I was hitting. You guys really spoke into that. So I was very, very grateful. And just so you know, that conversation that we had was not, if I don't remember it being delivered in like a harsh tone at all, but if it was, whatever tone the Lord like pressed on your heart to speak to me in was exactly the tone I needed. It was perfect. So I'm grateful.
He's good like that.
Yeah.
Good like that. No, I think, you know, the thing I discovered in the first reading through the scripture really was just, it was a picture of God and his consistency of character from beginning to end. Really, I mean, like Exodus 34:6-7 is it. He's the Lord, compassionate, gracious God, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, maintaining love to thousands, but who does not leave the guilty unpunished. I mean, there's like, he is just, he is righteous, he is gracious, and the punishment, you know, lo and behold, ends up on Jesus.
Right.
In the end of all things. So that's, you know, it's almost like I got this sort of cinematic overview. You know, I mean, like, if you think about the last movie that you saw, you probably don't remember much of the dialogue, but you remember the story and you fell in love with the main characters.
Mm-hmm.
Reading through the Bible quickly and completely does. It gives you a cinematic overview of the Bible. You get a sense of the story and you fall in love with the main character, you know?
Yeah. So we are endeavoring to read through the Bible in a year. But because the internet is forever, this podcast could fall on someone's ears 5-6 years from now. And so if you're that person who's listening and you want to do it faster than in a year, congratulations, all the podcasts are already there and you can plow through it in 90 days. And so that, I think that is a huge asset for a lot of people that feels undoable, unmanageable. And I've never done it that fast. But I love the idea of that. I love speeding through it like that to sort of get that cinematic overview, like you said.
Yeah. Well, it's not for everybody, and nobody needs to get legalistic about the pace. I think a year is a wonderful pace.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, the thing that evangelist at that camp that I was in when I was younger told me about reading it through quickly, the thing he said was, do it quickly, especially while you're really young, because you have the rest of your life to pick through it.
Yeah, that's good.
That was key. Because what he was trying to help me do is to absorb all the content so that basically my brain then could partner with the Holy Spirit in bringing any of it to mind at any time.
Right.
Because if, you know, if my eyes hadn't seen it, it wasn't in there.
Yeah. And I think, you know, scripture, it doesn't take the same amount of time for me when I'm trying to read and study scripture. I can't read it at the same pace that I study it. I have to study much more slowly because every word has meaning and weight and nuance. It's not like reading John Grisham, you know, it's just, you can plow through that quickly and not get the nuance. But for people who want to study and spend time in it, you know, if we're listening to the audio version of YouVersion and having that read, it takes about 12 minutes a day to do that. And you can even hit the speed up button and listen to it at 1.5 times speed or things like that. But you're not going to get the kind of nuance that you do and the understanding of who the Lord is. And I love that because I never want it to get boring. And so the more time I spend with it and the more slowly I go with it now, the more I get out of it. There's always something new for me there. So I love that. Yeah. Why do you think it's important for people to read the whole Bible?
I can answer this question so many different ways. I think if you think about who God is, and especially for, you know, podcast listeners who are believers, if you have a grain of sand's worth of understanding about how much this person loves you, capital P person, how much God loves you, and he put down in a book basically all of his written thought about, you know, what's available to us about, you know, the universe, everything else like that. Like, if you put it all down, wouldn't you want to see all of it? You know what I mean? So I just think that there are some things that some people, you know, that are just a little bit harder to get your head around, but there's treasure in those words regardless. You know? So I think for me, reading the whole Bible is, why wouldn't you want to read the whole Bible, given how much this God loves you desperately and might have some hidden gems in the corners of the Bible that you haven't seen. The other thing that I, you know, think it's important to read the whole thing, just two other reasons, really. One is so that you don't go to extremes unnecessarily. Like, the Bible is full of these mysterious paradoxes, and if you don't read all of the scriptures, like every single page, you might have a tendency to kind of like go off into one extreme or another, when really, I mean, the mystery of salvation, about God's sovereignty and man's free choice inside of that, it is a deep mystery that seems in places like it's total opposite in how it operates. You know, like you need to see the whole scripture so that you can like dwell in the mystery.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so that's one reason why I think it's really important. You know, what cults have been formed on singular passages of scripture taken to extremes to the exclusion of others.
Yes.
So that's why I think it's you're safe if you've got it all. All of it, there are some parts that probably will scare you, and that will keep you humble and help you fear the Lord, and it'll be a witness to you that the Bible, that Christianity, is a divine, superhuman thing. It's not, it wasn't, you know, drummed up by human imagination.
Right.
The fact that there is a mystery is proof that this thing is not made up by humans.
Right.
And so that's what I think the entirety of the scriptures reveal that. And the last reason I think to read the whole Bible purely is just to sync up with the promise of Romans chapter 10. It says faith comes from hearing, and hearing the words of Christ. Now certainly that means faith, and in this case I think it's talking about saving faith, comes from hearing the words of Christ, the gospel. When you hear the gospel, faith is created inside of you, and then you operate from one level of faith to another as he gives it to you. But that basically what's in that promise is every word that comes out of Jesus' mouth that you hear creates faith in your heart. So from my perspective, I boil it down logically, like all the words, this is Wayne Grudem's definition here, his statement, all the words of Scripture are God's words, and therefore to disbelieve or disobey any of the words of Scripture is to disbelieve or disobey God. So if all of those scriptures are Jesus' words, then all of them have the capability to create brand new faith inside my heart.
Yeah.
I want as much as I can get. That's the only promise that I can tell in the scriptures that faith is gained by. Like, you get more of it. You get more faith the more you hear the words of Christ. And anytime my eyes hit the page, my brain has a little sound system on the inside of it, and it is blaring those words out loud in my mind, and faith is being created. You know? So that's why I would say, like, for anybody, my encouragement to them to read the whole Bible is, you want as much faith as you can get, so get all of that stuff in, you know.
Yeah, that's good. And when I think one of the things you told me early on when I was reading and I was hitting some walls was, when you feel confused or frustrated by what you're reading, lean in. Like, don't let that prompt you to back away and just be like, I don't understand this, or this is frustrating or confusing. Like, lean in, because the more you lean in, the more information you're going to get, the more your faith is going to be built, and it's going to help inform your understanding.
And the Bible is its own best commentary.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've told people before, if you've got a question mark in Leviticus, hang on, because it's possible that the answer may come to you when you get to Hebrews.
That's good.
You know, just like keep your question mark where it is. Mm-hmm. Keep reading, because the Holy Spirit's going to reveal things. Like, it's easy to, like, if you're reading the Bible and especially taking lots of it in, you can fall into the trap of considering the Bible just to be another book that's meant there, you know, for your understanding. It's basically the same as, you know, A Brief History of Time or, you know, something else like that. It's not. It's not like that. Mm-hmm. The Brief History of Time is not promised to be living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing the division of joints and marrow, soul and spirit, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. When you read the Bible, it's reading you at the same time. You know, A Brief History of Time does not have the promise on it that says all scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, you know, for reproof, correcting, training, righteous as the man of God may complete, equipped for every good work. Like, the Bible is a supernatural entity. It is alive and living. And so what that means is, if there's something that you come to in it, especially if you're reading in the early parts, and you bump against it, and you're like, either emotionally or intellectually, you can't comprehend it, you gotta hang on and persevere, knowing that it's going to come back around and tap you on the shoulder and explain something as you continue to journey on. Mm-hmm. So I really feel like the promise is true. You know, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Like, persevering and reading through the scriptures is one way you can bring that promise to fullness. When you keep pushing through the scriptures, even when you don't understand, God is going to come to you and reward that pursuit with revelation. So, I don't know. You know, I think it's just so important. Nobody needs to be scared of any part of it. And
yeah,
some high amount. It is not. Mm. You know, I think the enemy would certainly love to lie to us to feel like it's an inaccessible book full of mysteries that are beyond human comprehension. And though it is, God still has great promise and wants to reveal many of those hidden things to us.
Yeah.
The light, our everlasting joy. So
yeah, it's clear he wants to be known.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And the cool part about it, he wants to be known, but he wants to do so in the atmosphere of pursuit.
Yeah.
You think about Jesus' encounter with the two guys on the road to Emmaus. Like, they're walking along, they don't know it's him, even though he's unpacking the scriptures and just like, their hearts are burning on the inside. And then he's like, he acts like he's going to go a little further. I'm just going to keep on going. They're like, no, you got to have dinner with us. We got to keep talking. And then boom, he reveals himself.
Right.
There's an aspect of this, of the, you know, kind of the playfulness of God that, like, you know, not in a malicious way, but he sometimes will play cat and mouse with us in order to awaken a hunger and awaken desire and to increase our joy in the discovery.
Yeah. So, he has certainly done that with me. Some of the sweetest times in my relationship with him were where he hid himself from me in times where I begin to realize that I long for him above and beyond all other things. So it's just been, it wasn't like he needed to know what was in my heart. I needed to know what was in my heart.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, we may have some people listening here who, I know the bulk of our listeners will probably be people who already identify as Christians, but I have a feeling that there are some people out there listening right now who aren't sure, or who maybe would say that they aren't a Christian or don't have a relationship with God. Do you have any words for them as they are pursuing this scripture reading process?
Yeah, I do. You know, the main things that I would say are just really full of encouragement for somebody who maybe doesn't have a relationship with God, but who is somehow drawn to the Bible or who wants to understand. Mm-hmm. And to that person, I just want to say, man, keep reading. Even if the things that you maybe seem very strange or intriguing or just downright, like, you know, repulsive to you, if there's something in you that is drawing you back to the scriptures, listen to that thing. If you find it mysterious, if you find it beautiful, keep on leaning in, because what potentially will happen is that as you're reading, it will create faith in your heart, and you will become introduced to the creator of the universe who has come close and in Jesus Christ, and who wants to touch you, to bless you, to pour out his love into your heart and to make you new. So, you know, anybody who has been drawn into the scriptures like that, You know, I've never seen someone walk away not changed.
Yeah.
So I'm just excited. Anybody who's listening, who's leaning into that, I just want to say, keep on going and get ready for the mystery. It's beautiful and it's wonderful, and there's just nothing but gift in it for you. Mm-hmm.
Well, along those lines, I'd love for you to also talk directly to the listener who really wants to engage with Scripture and hopes this podcast is going to be a tool to help them know God better. Like, what's the best piece of advice you have for current Christ followers who've maybe tried and failed at reading the Bible before?
I think my advice there is in one part, just raw encouragement, and the other part, super practical. In the encouragement part, I'm just like, keep going, keep going. Mm-hmm. It's creating faith in you on the days when you feel like it seems like Japanese and you're just reading through genealogies and endless laws that look the same. I'm like, keep going, because if your eyes are looking at the pages, if your eyes are looking at those words, faith is being created. So don't give up. Don't find it worthless, because there is something of value being added to you, even if you walk away and you don't even remember what you read.
Right.
So
that's good. That's good.
Hang in there, hang in there, hang in there. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Because I'm telling you, if you complete it and then you do it again, the second time you read it all the way through, oh my gosh, it's going to be like, you know, your mind is going to be blown with each successive reading, mm-hmm. all the way through, of what begins to emerge and the patterns that you see and how intricate it is. And it's just amazing.
That's what blows me away, is I love it more every year. Like, I'm entering into my 10th year, and every year I think I can't love it more. And I just do. It's so great.
It's working in partnership with your memory, in order so that every time you're reading through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all that stuff, what's happening in your brain as you're reading that stuff is everything that your memory knows from, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is filtering its way into that stuff and making connections that you never saw the time before. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's just this wonderful fractal that you like go into the depth, and it just keeps going on and on and on forever. It's just this infinite, majestic, wonderful.
So good.
The other, from a practical standpoint, the other thing I would say is reading through the Bible in a group with buddies, and holding one another accountable, talking to each other, asking each other questions, like just meeting together to do it in community. I've seen that work for quite a few people. Mm-hmm. If you find that, like, you know, like me, I do not have a natural gift for discipline. I can't white knuckle anything. Mm-hmm. But if I have another friend who's maybe got a little bit more discipline than me on that particular day, it's a little bit easier to kind of catch up and keep going and to not give up on it. So, and two, I think the other thing I'd say, that, you know, to someone who maybe is just like finding it hard to get through or they failed before, is jump back in there and try again and ask the Holy Spirit for help. Mm. Like, He wants to help you read through. He wants to help you understand it. I'll tell this too. Anybody who's like really just comes up like a wall, you feel like you can't ever get past this section of the Scriptures, I'm just gonna tell you, fight through that.
Yeah.
The enemy only does not go to battle where there are no spoils. So there is resistance against you trying to get this word inside you. So fight through for the joy of it. And, you know, I'm just telling you, you're going to be blessed if you hang in there and keep going.
That's so good. And without even knowing it, you have actually highlighted some things that we're discussing in later prep episodes. One of them is focus specifically on reading the Bible in community and just encouraging people to find other people to do this with.
Yeah.
So, listeners, stay tuned for that, because we're going to talk more about that in a later prep episode. I think it's episode 6, if I recall correctly. Lee, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to make this happen. I know you're incredibly busy, but we've been so grateful for your time and your insight. I have no doubt that the things you've said will impact our listeners in a way perhaps like mine, where just the trajectory of their life changed. And I'm asking the Lord to like give weight to your words as they land on people's hearts, so that those words come to mind again when they encounter those struggles you mentioned, or when they feel disconnected and want to quit. I pray that your words will bear fruit, and that 10 years from now, when our listeners have read through Scripture 10 times, they will be repeating those things to other people as encouragement to them as well. So thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Tara Lee. And I just want to speak a word of blessing over everybody who's listening to this. I just pray that God would open up your eyes to see the wonderful things inside his law. He can do it. And I just bless you in Jesus' name and pray that he would do that for you even today.
Amen. All right. Thanks, Lee.
After our interview, Lee and I were talking at his office, and he mentioned something he wished he'd said to you all. So I asked him to say it as I recorded it into my phone. So the audio isn't great, but it's just a short clip, and I believe what he says will make you glad you listened. Here it is.
Your brain is a much more...
Yeah, your brain is a much more complicated and powerful instrument than you may realize. All of your sensory experience has been like cataloged by it. Mm-hmm. And so everything you've read, everything you've seen, everything, like it's all like stored up in there. Mm-hmm. And seeing all the pages of scripture, if you may, even though you may not ever recall what was happening necessarily in Leviticus 19, like it's all in there. And so what happens is it syncs up with this promise that Jesus makes about the Holy Spirit in John 14:26, which says, he is going to bring to your remembrance everything that I have told you.
Wow.
And if every word of the scripture essentially are Jesus' own words,
right,
like all of them, mm-hmm, then what I end up doing by reading every single page of the Bible is I partner with the Holy Spirit and then put in his hands all of Jesus' words that he can bring back to my mind at any time. If I haven't read it all, now he's God, he can put anything in my mind,
right,
that he wants to at any
mm-hmm
time. But it just, you're able to sync up with that promise that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance everything that Jesus has taught. When you read the entire Bible, you partner with him in a very powerful way so that at any time you can be having a conversation with somebody and zoom into your mind comes this random Bible verse from 2 Peter and you had no clue that you even remembered that verse, but boom, it comes in. You don't remember the address. I think it just says somewhere a pow, and you watch faith created in their heart.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit was able to bring that thing to mind, and it was there because you had read it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
It's just an encouragement for people to lean in because of what it enables the Holy Spirit to do in them. So.
Love that.
Wasn't everything he had to say awesome? I loved how much my experience and his experience were so different, yet we both ended up at the same place of loving Scripture. Maybe you feel discouraged about Bible reading and you feel like you can't relate to his story or mine, but take heart because I believe you are going to land in this place too. I believe you are going to love Scripture. By the way, if you want a good tool for your time in the Word, download Lee's album, The Hour, which is great background music for prayer and Bible reading time. It has honestly become a staple in my life. I'm not kidding. I use it all the time. We'll link to that in the show notes, so go check those out to grab that album. I also want to point you to something else we've just launched, our Patreon page. Patreon is a win-win for everyone. Not only does it help us keep this podcast running, but it also connects you with some extra access and extra goodies you wouldn't have otherwise, like bonus episodes, an online community, cool t-shirts, videos, and Q&R hangouts. That's question and response. And if you become a Patreon supporter at our $15 level or higher by December 31st, 2018, we'll throw in a little something extra for you. You can find out more info in the show notes or at patreon.com/thebiblerecap. That's patreon.com/thebiblerecap. And if you haven't yet subscribed to The Bible Recap, do that now. It's just one click away. Get ready to read through God's Word with me because I promise you, He is where the joy is. The Bible Recap is brought to you by D Group, discipleship and Bible study groups that meet in homes and churches around the world each week. If you're looking for a group of people to study the Bible with in person, find or start a D group near you by visiting mydgroup.org. That's mydgroup.org.